How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And yes, I'm back. Had a great time last week in Alaska. Want to send out a huge thank you to Mike Sempervivi, as well as everybody else who stepped in for me last week when I was gone. Very much do appreciate that. My voice is still not back yet. I did a show last night, and here I am getting ready for Sunday, and my voice is not fully recovered. I'm out of voice shape, but we're going to do our best today. We've got Mike Sempervivi here. Going to talk about all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and there is a lot of it. Not the least of which is we're a week away from SummerSlam. We got some matches. We're going to talk about those tonight. Actually, 2 weeks away from SummerSlam. Tomorrow is Raw in Everett, and I will be there live, so we can talk about that show, what's planned. A lot of interesting things happened in WWE this weekend, including a fan throwing a replica Money in the Bank briefcase into the ring and hitting Roman Reigns. I'm not making this up. Roman Reigns was hit by a briefcase. The police were called. This happened last night. Crazy story. We could talk about that. As well as some other WWE injuries and Triple Mania. Triple Mania is one of AAA's biggest shows. Triple Mania 15, Triple Mania 2015, is taking place tonight on pay-per-view. Kicks off in about an hour. We'll be watching it tonight. We'll do a Brian and Vinny show recapping Triple Mania. We can talk about that show. We've had Triple Mania guests, AAA guests on the show for the past week, and so we could talk all about that. And of course, as always here on Sunday, we're going to be taking a bunch of open line phone calls as well. Whatever is on your mind is fair game today. So we'll be back after the next break with all of the news and more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Look at that. We got new music there, Mike. Observer Live, everybody. Ryan Alvarez here, joined by Mike Sempervivi, here, of course, every day. I'm not. I am now. I'm back from Alaska. I don't know if you heard it, Mike, but a huge thank you to you for holding down the fort when I was gone, regardless of what anybody might have said on the board. How'd things go?
I think they went quite well. The figure four, never done a figure four daily before, at least in the lead chair, although I really wasn't in the lead chair since it was Dave Meltzer and Conan, and so I really didn't have much to say at all with those two talking, and I thought that was absolutely awesome in the leading up to tonight's Triple Mania, and Josh Nason and David Bixenspan being here at the beginning of the week, and Sean Radican being here at the end of the week. They were great, so I want to thank everybody for listening. They had the chance to check it out, but I'm sure everybody is much more in rapture right now that you're back from Alaska. And can you tell us about bears or anything like that? Is there anything you can learn us on with your northern exposure?
Well, what can I say about bears? I did see some bears, not in the wild. We went to kind of like a sort of a thing where you walk around. It's kind of like a zoo. I guess it's a zoo, but they didn't call it a zoo. It was like a conservation place. So
sanctuary?
Something like that. So I got a couple of bear pics there. But I will say that
With a bear, like hanging out, like arm in arm?
Actually, this bear was sitting and reclining. It's the greatest picture I think I've ever taken in my life. But we stayed at a place. We stayed at two different places. We stayed in Seward, and then we stayed in Homer, which is the second place. And we go to Homer, and I didn't want to run into any bears because I really don't want to be eaten. And we'd avoided them, and there didn't seem to be any bears anywhere that we were going. So the first place we went to, you didn't have to go check in. They knew you were coming. They left the key out. All you had to do was let yourself in and call them, and that was how you checked in.
Wow.
Yeah. So we do that at the first place, and we go to the second place, and the door's open. The key is inside. It's exactly like the other place. So I thought, okay, well, same thing. We'll just, we kind of wandered by the office, and we didn't see anybody in there, so we just go inside and hanging out in there, and about 2 hours later, we hear somebody banging on the door, and it's the guy that runs the place, and he's very surly, and he's like, "You have a reservation?" We're like, "Yeah." He goes, well, you need to check in. So anyway, he was being very surly, and my wife had rented the thing, and so I said, okay, you go and check in, and I'll wait here. So she goes to do all the things.
He's sending your wife out to go with the surly dude.
Exactly, yeah. So I did feel bad about it after she was gone for like 2 minutes, and so I thought, okay, I'll go and I'll offer some moral support. So I walk across the deal, and I go into the office, and she sees me, and she kind of shuffles a little bit, like she's trying to cover something up. And I look behind her, and there's a sign that just says, there have been bears around, a mama bear and her baby. And my wife afterwards just said, I really didn't want you to see that sign. And I was like, yeah, it's a little worrisome. But what did the guy say about the bear? And she goes, well, he said that there's been these bears around, but he said, don't worry about it. Just make sure you look before you go outside.
That's it?
I was like, just make sure we look before we... Did he have a, if not? Like, what happens if I don't look before I go outside? Am I going to be eaten?
Bared out of nowhere.
So yeah, we had to look every time before we went outside because there might have been a bear out there that was preparing to eat us. So yeah, we didn't get eaten. We didn't see any bears. Didn't see any Sasquatch. I'll talk more about that tonight.
I like the survival tips that they give you in case you stumble upon the bear. It's just you have to wait for the bear to come to you. You know, what happens if you stumble out there by the bear?
Exactly. And then before I even heard this, I did not want to be eaten by a bear. We're driving and there's literally nothing on the radio except conservative talk radio. I mean, as you're driving from place to place. So we're just, and everyone's talking about Trump. I'm not going to talk about politics on this show, but I got to say that because Trump has a pro wrestling tie-in, I can at least mention it here on this program. This is just about the most amazing thing I've ever seen, this Trump deal that's going on right now. It's insane. But anyway, we're driving and the top of the hour news comes and there's a story of this local woman got mauled by a bear. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And it talks about how she got mauled by a bear and she was taken to the hospital and she'll be okay. And the newscaster just says, no one knows how she got away. Like, this is shocking news that someone escaped a mauling by a bear. And I'm like, God, what next? And then when I hear we got to look before we go outside because there might be a bear there, it's like, this is crazy. But this was the best vacation. We had the best time. And so I want to thank everybody who held up their end of the bargain, or whatever you want to say, as I was gone. I very much appreciate it. And it was a good time. Go to Alaska, everybody. Just watch out for the bears.
I'm not going to believe that that person actually escaped a bear unless I find out that they have a history in professional wrestling, because as far as I know, they're the only people who get away from bears are professional wrestlers. Now, granted, those bears have been muzzled and they know how to work, but still, you know, how do you escape a bear?
When I was looking at all the bears in that sanctuary, they're very large. And we went to another museum or something, and they had a stuffed bear. And that was the first thing I thought, because wrestlers, especially in Western Canada, there were a lot of, and on the carnival circuit, there were wrestlers back in the day that wrestled bears.
Dave McKinley, right?
That was right. That was one of the gimmicks, was wrestling a bear. And I just took a look at all these bears, and it was just like, holy smokes. I mean, even declawing the bear and putting the muzzle on the bear, this thing's like 800 pounds. And granted, I'm sure the bears were much smaller than everybody wrestled, but still, you're talking like a 400-500-pound bear. It's crazy to think about, but people used to do that.
I like the story of, too, you know, the bear was... After the match, you know, the guys would go and drink a beer. The bear would have a Coke out of a glass bottle. The bear would enjoy that. At least the one that would seemingly be in the South all the time, that I know Jim Cornette talks about, the great working bear down there, where they seem to do that a lot down there. I know in Canada as well, too, obviously, for obvious reasons. But down South, they love that gimmick.
The key is to give the bear whatever it wants. That's what I have... So what I have determined, we got somebody on Twitter who's sick of us talking about bears and wants us to get to Ryan's call. No one's calling yet. We're going to open the phones here in a while. But I do have a question for you, Mike, since you did the show on Friday. Did you do Open Line Fridays?
Sort of, yes.
Did anybody call about that SmackDown women's match?
No.
Really?
Nope.
I guess they didn't want to call and talk about how terrible it was.
I think Ed will only call if it's one of the parts unknown line. He's now refusing to call any other line. And he and I don't know about Jim in Virginia. I know those guys probably would have been the best candidates to bring it up, but they did not happen to make it through on Friday.
Well, all I know is that we're going to take calls here later on. And if you saw the SmackDown women's match, I want to know what you thought about it because it was terrible. The finish... The whole match was pretty much terrible, but the last 2 minutes and the finish, it was such a disaster. I honest to God, I watched the last 5 minutes of that match about six times last night before I did the show with Dave. And we can talk about it here on the program, and I want to get your thoughts on that. And we're going to be previewing the Triple Mania show as well. It's kicking off at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern, an hour earlier in the traditional time slot, on pay-per-view. If you can normally watch pay-per-views, you can watch the AAA show. We've been interviewing guests for the last couple of weeks, so we're going to talk about that on the program today, as well as SummerSlam, as I mentioned in the opening monologue there. I am going to Raw tomorrow, and I've been alerted that there's no Brock Lesnar, there's no Undertaker. Apparently there's no John Cena, so I guess all I can hope for is that the New Day is going to be there. But SummerSlam has got 4 matches so far. We can talk about that. I've got the entire card here for the AAA pay-per-view tonight. We will discuss that as well. And also, Roman Reigns getting waylaid by a briefcase. Going to talk about that as well. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, I don't know what to do with all this new music. It's very exciting. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a lot of news to talk about today as we head toward the Triple Mania pay-per-view, exclusively on pay-per-view from Mexico. And a lot of big matches. We'll be going over those here in a little while today. Taking your phone calls after a while as well. Don't call yet. Phone lines aren't open. We'll get into those here in a little while. But first off, this SummerSlam card. We got 4 matches so far, and I know that a lot of people disagreed with me when I made this statement a couple of weeks ago, but I am glad that they have kept The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar apart ever since that violent brawl that they had on Raw. They had a tremendous brawl, and I thought there's no way that you are going to top this brawl. And so keep these guys away from each other. I don't need a guy running a guy over in a hearse. I don't need any magic. This is a match that now, because of that brawl, everybody wants to see. And so just take your time, build it up, and then pay it off at SummerSlam. And that appears to be what they're doing. This could all change tomorrow, but it appears to be what they're doing.
I know it may sound cynical to some people, but you said it right when you said all they can do is mess it up. Because if you do keep trotting them out there over and over again, all you can do is mess it up. It's very simple. And the biggest thing is out of the way. It was that, you know, that huge brawl and Brock being arrested. And all we needed was Paul Heyman to run his mouth. All we need is video packages. Although, good Lord, the video package for that match, you know, they had 2 of them during Paul Heyman's promo. You will see that about a million more times leading into SummerSlam and on SummerSlam. It's awesome, but they are really, really long. Really good, but really long. But really, that's
fine
a
with me.
Thing. That's the thing. That's all you need. That's really, really all you need. And I guess Undertaker and Lesnar will both be out there in Minnesota coming up here. Not tomorrow, obviously, but next week. Leading into SummerSlam, and can you imagine the reaction Brock is going to get in Minnesota? So it's almost guaranteed to be awesome again. The go home being awesome with the two of them somehow interacting again. So they've done this part. You know, when WWE does their good stuff, they tend to do as a whole over the last couple of years. The one thing that they really concentrate on, they always seem to do it well in the end. And this is an example of that.
Yeah, I am really, I don't know if excited is the right word, but I think they're doing a great job with that main event.
Say you're marking out a little bit because that's what
it is. I don't know about
that.
I was for the brawl. I will say that. But
it's
the
like Brock
key
Lesnar,
is,
at least it gives you your like some fandom back, you know, when so much of it sucks and so much of it can be so incredibly painful over 3 hours, at least it gives you something.
Well, what I like about the whole deal is it's so good that I don't care what else they do with the rest of the card, because the reality is the rest of the card doesn't matter. And I'll give you a perfect example. If we didn't have like a really good main event scheduled, I would probably be up in arms about this this tag match that they have scheduled. It's Wyatt and Harper against Reigns and Ambrose. Now, originally, Sting was going to be involved and probably a third member of the Wyatt family. But Vince has decided that's not going to happen. And really, Vince is right. And I'll tell you why. You've already got Undertaker versus Brock on this show, and it's great. You don't need to have Sting on this show. Hold Sting off until the September pay-per-view, and then the September pay-per-view has got a hook that it wouldn't have had before. So, I have no problem with that. What I do kind of have a problem with, and I don't really because the main event is so good, but the fact that we're getting a tag match at SummerSlam, and I just saw the match on Monday, and not only did I see the match on Raw, but it was a enhanced version of the match. We had Wyatt, Harper, and Sheamus against Reigns, Ambrose, and Orton. We had the exact same match with two extra stars. And now they're putting just the tag match on SummerSlam like it's going to be a big match. Things like that would normally annoy me, but because it's a good main event, I don't really care all that much. But it is funny that they gave that match away for free with two bonus players.
Yeah, you're right, but problem is the options are so limited because we've seen everyone against everyone so many times. So there's only so many creative ways you can keep guys in the mix, and Roman Reigns you need to keep strong. And, you know, when you've limited your own options, then you're stuck with situations like this where you go with the boxing approach of come see the main event, and then we got a bunch of this other stuff down here too. Hopefully you've gotten a giggle out of Titus on commentary. Hopefully you think what we're doing with the women's division is okay. Hopefully you still really like Randy Orton. You just do that stuff and you throw it out there and just aim for the main event being the biggest thing. And if it fails, at least in the back of your mind, you have, well, it was only $9.99.
Now, as far as this champion versus champion match, we've got Cena and Seth Rollins. It's now title for title. Both belts are going to be on the line. They are building it up as this will be the first time in history that somebody carries both of these titles at the same time. Now, I have two theories about where they're going. One is that John Cena beats Seth Rollins and he wins the WWE title, at which point Sheamus immediately cashes in, wins the belt, and John Cena remains the U.S. champion, and Sheamus is the new WWE champion. And of course, that would be set up by having Orton beat Sheamus, and then Orton is your first challenger for Sheamus, like they always do with Randy Orton. So that is one possibility. The other possibility, if they don't want to just do like a lame DQ or count out or something like that, so nobody leaves with both titles, the other possibility is that they do the 60-minute match. If you've been following WWE, there have been a lot of things they've done of late that have been taken directly from Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor just did a one-hour draw. This show is now 4 hours long. They're trying to make it the SummerSlam, the WrestleMania of the summer. 4 hours is a long time. I know they're going to add more matches, but we've only got four announced so far. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they want Seth and Cena to go an hour, and they do the one-hour draw, and neither title changes hands. I think those are the two most likely scenarios.
Jimmy Jacobs just giving him epiphanies all over the place all of a sudden. I mean, I know obviously that they're paying attention more to Ring of Honor because they're running NXT in opposition to it, or at least is taking more of an aggressive stance. I guess he could be nice about it and say that towards Ring of Honor. I think that's a mistake as much. I think Rollins and Cena could do it, but I think it's a mistake to do on that show. There's no need to. I think the option of Sheamus, having that happen, to me, it makes Seth Rollins more interesting because now what's his worth to the authority? If John Cena wins it, Sheamus cashes it in, which, you know, does Sheamus have a concussion? We don't know. Could this all be something that's being floated out there so it's even more of a surprise when he shows up? We'll see. Who knows? But as far as that scenario playing out, I like that more for everyone involved, including Randy Orton, like you said, including John Cena, who still has the U.S. title. Now people can throw that in his face that he, you know, he lost. Now he's ripe for the picking for the U.S. belt. You get more stories out of that by far. Plus, the big thing about, you know, Rollins and where you go with him and his association with the authority, which, you know, in theory, the authority can just go, well, we have Sheamus now. And you can build up tension that way in case you ever wanted to turn Rollins babyface. So to me, there are far more options in that approach.
I hadn't even thought of the idea that the Sheamus injury could be a work. Sheamus apparently has a concussion. Actually, I don't know if he has a concussion because WWE doesn't like to talk about people that have concussions. But Sheamus apparently suffered some sort of injury, and so he looks like he's going to be out of action for a while. But yes, I guess that could be a cover story to get him out of people's minds to do a surprise cash-in.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't need to see Sheamus in that position, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but what does the world title mean when you have Brock Lesnar around and you have the authority around and you have, I mean, the belt is a prop. And Rollins, look, Rollins is doing a great job when he defends it. But again, this everything is built around the story, and Sheamus having that belt and Cena still having the U.S. title in play and still being a, you know, he doesn't lose that much because he's tired after this war with this athletic super, you know, guy who's held onto the belt for a long period of time. And Sheamus comes in dastardly like the prick that he is and steals the belt away. And he's got a relationship with Triple H, and maybe Rollins can be jealous of that. Again, there's so many things with Orton, and granted, these are the same names over and over again, and you have to deal with the fact that you have the authority angle, which if you don't like that sort of thing, obviously, you know, this is probably pissing you off right now. But with the scenarios that they have, to me, again, as far as stories go, that's really all that matters. And then with Brock Lesnar, I don't know what he's got planned to come next. If you're going to do anything with him at some, you know, at Survivor Series or what's going to happen coming out of his match with The Undertaker. But if he's going to be around, then as horrible as this is to say, the world title situation becomes even less valuable because Brock Lesnar is your, you know, your diamond. He's your world heavyweight champion, you know, whether he's got a strap around his waist or not.
All right, everybody, we're about to head to a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking some Triple Mania, and later on today, we also got to talk the SmackDown Women's match. It is Wrestling Observer Live, so that's usually when everybody calls to talk about the women. Now's your chance. Are you going to defend this match? Are you going to tell me this match was good? We'll find out soon. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phone lines are ringing. Stand by, everybody. We got some more news to talk about, and then we'll get to the phone calls here today.
Can you tolerate this new music, Brian? Is this throwing you off too much?
No, my lack of voice is throwing me off. And I just got a message from Dave. We may be doing a show tonight, which would be four shows today. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to handle, but we'll see what happens. Triple Mania is starting here soon, everybody. Double main event, Rey Mysterio versus Mysticis in a singles match. Mysticis is the former Mystico, the former Sin Cara, the original Sin Cara in WWE, not the guy that's there now. And also El Patron, Alberto El Patron, against Brian Cage in a hair versus hair match. Those are the two main events of the show. We've also got a three-way trios steel cage match for the AAA Trios title. Averno, Chessman, Cibernetico against Angelico, Jack Evans, and Phoenix against Hijo del Fantasma, Pentagon Jr., and Tejano Jr., all taking place tonight on the AAA pay-per-view. Mike, are you getting the show?
I am. I've actually already ordered it for the internet. I'm relatively excited about this. I still am on a Lucha Underground high, and for those who are unaware, most of the guys from Lucha Underground came from AAA. So it's kind of a good hat tip to the season ending of Lucha Underground and the Ultimate Lucha finale that played on Wednesday. You know, this kind of bookending everything here with AAA's biggest show of the year or one of their biggest shows of the year. They have Rey de Reyes and, you know, they have a couple other ones as well. But this is, you know, their anniversary show. And I'm excited to see Mystico and Mysterio. It's a couple years too late, obviously, compared to them being in more of their, you know, certainly Mysterio, you know, physically, even though he says he's doing really well right now, you know, as far as being healthy a couple years ago and just a little bit less on his body, the chances of seeing him and Sin Cara in WWE, it was supposed to be a big deal. It was supposed to be, you know, mask versus mask talked about at WrestleMania and the biggest the amount of people to wear masks in one time, and it was going to be this big spectacle, and we didn't get it. But I still remember Mystico from 2005 when he was really the best wrestler in the world and how big of a deal he was and how he was supposed to be the next Rey Mysterio, the next export from Mexico to the world that just, you know, ends up tearing the roof down, you know, or tearing the building down. And he didn't really do it on his tours in New Japan. There were other guys that actually impressed more. Obviously, his story when he went to WWE is well told, but he's got a new lease on life down in Mexico. And, you know, everything going into this match, Mysticism's attitude and his heelishness, and we know the situation about his entourage and Alberto El Patron, and for the aesthetics of this match with Mysterio, he came out as the Terminator with that deal that they have with Paramount. And tonight there's going to be a Mission Impossible theme. And, you know, Mysterio, when it comes to WrestleMania, is always like having themed out gear and all that stuff. So the whole spectacle of that match is something that I'm really looking forward to. And I believe that Mysterio can do it. I'm just hoping that Mystico or Mysticis holds up his end of the deal. And it really ends up being the match that, you know, people that have wanted for a long time to see.
Got a lot of people on Twitter here noting that WWE does not announce a 1 hour time limit. And if they announce a 1 hour time limit, it might give things away. And when's the last time they announced 1 hour? It's all true. It's all true. I mean, you could just ring the bell exactly an hour in, and that's the end of that, and then, you know.
Which is exactly what Ring of Honor just did.
It's better to apologize than ask permission. Isn't that right?
That's always the way that WWE has done stuff. They could always, you know, twist the truth after the fact, but those types of things usually only work if you're going to announce a time limit when you have people conditioned, you know, over time to know that there's time limits. So I think that's just, it's the wrong WWE in 2015 and the way it currently is. I mean, you could do that in NXT. You cannot do that in WWE and have it be as impactful as you'd want it to be. I think there's other things you could do that would make more sense to their fan base.
We'll see. I think it's either a Money in the Bank cash in, or it's got to be a time limit draw, or it's got to be a lame finish.
Why does it have to be a time limit draw?
It doesn't. I mean, it can be a lame finish, I said, but I don't want it to be a lame finish because that would be lame.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like they haven't done no contests before. And again, you know, especially since the 995 or 999 era has come through. And on top of it, on this one, they got Brock and Undertaker. So, you know, it could be a huge schmoz where you just Rusev runs in and every, you know, wacky person in the world runs in and ends up screwing it up somehow. And it just sets up something else down the road. Doesn't make it right. But, you know, again,
well,
you don't
then
have
we'd
to
have
go
to see
an
a rematch. How do you get out of a champion versus champion match?
Well, to be honest with you, with the mainstream WWE fan base, what do you think would be more of a negative to them to have in this day and age a hour long John Cena Rollins match that just ends with a ding of the bell and it's a draw and it's over, or some sort of wacky, you know, a hot finish, you know, hopefully, but a really wacky convoluted one?
I don't know, but I know that John Cena and Seth Rollins could probably do an hour match, and if you build it up as, you fans have seen history here, a legendary match, I think that would mean more to the fans than, hey, this is the 95th screwjob finish that we've given you in the last year.
To me, it's don't look over here behind this curtain. Check this out. We have a shiny Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker. Over here, kids. And then you just worry about it on Monday night.
Got a GIF here of the Sheamus injury. And he got a shoulder tackle from Roman. It appears to be very groggy. So, and he fell out of the ring. I would bet it's actually a real injury. I mean, if you're going to do a worked injury for a fake concussion, it probably would be something better than a flat back bump. There's a lot of ways to work a supposed head injury, and I don't think falling down is high on the list. But I will retweet that if you want to check out the animated GIF of when Sheamus allegedly got his injury. So head up there on my Twitter.
Could anybody really be surprised with if you heard that Sheamus or Swagger or Titus or Reigns or Ambrose or, you know, Barrett, a handful of guys, if you heard any of those names and concussion, I mean, you kind of have to believe it, you know, and maybe it was as simple as he got his bell rung. It was a very slight concussion or whatever it was, or maybe he's got great recuperative powers and he's okay and they're still playing this up. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if this is truly legit.
This person wants to know, why not announce an Iron Man match and have it end in a draw? Problem is, Iron Man matches don't work anymore.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, it used to mean something. You know, how many falls you could get over a guy in an hour time. What does that mean to the 2015 WWE fan? It doesn't mean anything.
Well, my point
anymore.
Is, if you tell people the match is going to be an hour, they're going to get bored. But if you just go an hour, they're less likely to be bored if it's a great match.
I guess. Yes, I guess. I just, at the end of this thing, if it's going to end screwy anyway...
Trust me, if they tell me the match is going an hour, I'm going to fall asleep halfway through.
Well, and you'll know, though. You'll know once it hits, like, the 30-minute mark. I mean, even the densest person would have to go, okay, something's up here, because people are so conditioned of the time to the 25.
We've had
30-minute
matches on Raw this year. They've gone 30.
They have, but it starts getting a little bit past that, and, you know, people are going to know, you know, something's probably up here.
This person thinks that Cena's just going to win the title and pass Flair. Actually, tie Flair if he won the belt. So I don't know if that's... somebody had a theory that he was going to win the title two more times so he would pass Flair, and somehow this would also help erase Hogan from history. I'm not sure I follow the line of reasoning there, but I don't know. Let's see what everyone is talking about today. To the phones, parts unknown line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Yes, Ed. Tell me about this women's match on SmackDown.
Okay, well, I didn't see the whole match from SmackDown.
But what do you mean you didn't see the whole match?
I didn't watch SmackDown. I just saw the clips that they put on YouTube, the video package, and... from the clips they showed, you wouldn't think anything was wrong until you actually see their faces after the match, and then you could kind of tell. But I knew this was going to happen. You've mentioned it yourself 100 times that these girls, they wrestle each other in NXT over and over again, and I knew when they had to wrestle somebody new that something like this was bound to happen eventually, and it did. And my question is, Dave has mentioned that there are forces behind the scenes that are not high on Charlotte already. I'm assuming he's talking about Vince and Kevin Dunn.
It's been like that for a long time, yeah.
Now, them seeing this match, what are the chances that Vince and Kevin Dunn get together and go, look, this girl's just going to screw stuff up. If we're going to have a girl screw stuff up, let's get a better-looking one. Let's send her back, and let's bring in Dana Brooke.
Well, the problem with your theory, Ed, is that the blame was
Kevin,
not...
Kevin, get in here. Stick her with Fat Owens. I'm done with him, too.
The blame was not put solely on Charlotte. The blame was put on all of the girls in the ring. Which actually is worse, because if the blame had only been put on Charlotte, then maybe they would say, okay, Charlotte needs to be sent back down. She's not ready yet.
It was Sasha's fault for standing outside. Sasha and Becky get in trouble.
If they put the blame... No, it wasn't just the finish. They thought the whole match sucked, like from start to finish. And so if the blame is put on all of the girls, this whole revolution, done for.
Now, what do you think, like, okay, if they were really high on it 2 weeks ago and after this, what do you think, how much have they gone down, I think, on, you know, wanting to push the revolution? And how much of this do you contribute to Becky bringing back her stupid wings?
Her stupid what?
She had her wings back on SmackDown. She hadn't had them the last couple weeks.
I would say in the grand scheme of things, that's low on the list of problems with everything that happened on Thursday.
Well, they need to get rid of them because they're stupid.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Ed. An enlightening wrap-up to that conversation there. She needs to get rid of her wings.
You know what? I didn't miss him not calling this week.
Oh, man. Hey, tell me what happened with Ryan when he called this week.
I don't remember. I've pretty much blocked it out of my mind. Let's see. He did search Wikipedia for the prize pack win when it came to who was Sexy Star's husband and how many people would be involved in the match he was going to be in at Ultima Lucha, the seven-way. So he did get that one right. So at least for once in his life, and I don't know how many times this has happened. I don't want to judge him at all. But at least one time that I know of, Ryan can actually say he was right once in his life.
Well, let's see if he's right twice in his life. Ryan, you are on the air. What's going on? Ryan?
Yes, I'd like to give my comments on the women's match. It was a two-star match, in my opinion. It was about an average match. I think people are overreacting 30. On the quality of the match. And I'd also like to say you're underestimating the quality of Iron Man matches, because I've never seen a bad Iron Man match in WWE. And honestly, one of my buddies once let me drive him 3 hours to the John Cena Randy Orton one, but I didn't do it. He doesn't even watch wrestling, so they're a major drawing card for WWE.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the call. We have to head to a break here. A two-star match, Ryan said, which I need. That means I need Ryan to start reviewing some of my own matches, because I never thought I had a five-star match, but apparently I did.
Hell of a curve.
And you know what? I will say, though, he's right. It's not like you're going to have a bad Iron Man match in WWE. It's just that I don't think that's what people want to see. It's a long time when you tell them it's going to be an hour. It's a short attention span generation. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. To the phones, we only got a little while, but east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
Yes, John.
Well, I saw that match on SmackDown, and I hope it doesn't destroy any momentum for the girls, but no, it wasn't good, and you could just see everything just falling off the rails halfway through the match, especially at the Charlotte deal where she was going for the figure four and she messed it up. It just looked like the plan fell apart from whatever they had planned to do, and it...
I don't even know what they were trying to do is what baffles me the most. What was the plan? What was your idea?
Yeah, and Ed brings up a good point. Why, when they tape SmackDown, they usually will go out and retape a bad finish. I mean, frankly, I would have just left this whole thing right off the show. I mean, that's honestly how craptastic it was.
The problem with leaving it off the show is it was like 15 minutes long.
Oh, that was the other problem.
It went forever. And I don't even know why. Like, I don't think people understand that, like, the great memorable NXT women's matches that they show on, like, TakeOver that are really long, that's one match every 3 or 4 months. The women's matches on the NXT television show are not 15 minutes long. Occasionally, there will be a long main event.
Gone.
But we're out of time. Back in a moment. Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. Here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. American Forces Network. Cable Radio Network. iHeartRadio. iTunes. TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Live here on Sunday. The AAA Triple Mania show is about to kick off. We've got a lot of people on the lines right now. I'll be taking some phone calls after the next break. Should add, by the way, that I have gotten a couple of people on Twitter who are having a hard time with the AAA pay-per-view. Apparently it's not playing for some people. Paul here is having an issue. If you're having an issue, let me know. It seems to be airing fine where I'm at. Mike, are you getting it?
Yeah, you get the big Mission Impossible opening here, and yeah, I've had no problem with it whatsoever.
All right, well, if you've had problems, let me know, and also let me know your provider so I can kind of keep track of this sort of thing, but it appears to be working.
So we can shame them for you.
That's right. It appears to be working okay here, so we'll keep an eye on that. But among the topics today, if you want to give us a call, it's open lines, but we've been talking about SummerSlam as well as Triple Mania, and this women's match on SmackDown, which was a disaster. And we'll see what happens on Raw tomorrow after this. I know that they put the blame on all the women. They thought all the women were terrible in this match. I actually thought Sasha was pretty good. I think Sasha's actually pretty great. But the big problem was at the end with Charlotte and Naomi. That was a complete disaster. They did a small package spot. Apparently it was not the scheduled finish, but I don't know what the scheduled finish would have been because I don't know what else they could have done. Seemed like everybody was doing what they were supposed to do, even though it was a disaster.
Charlotte went all Miz with the figure four.
Yeah, she screwed up the figure four. It looked like they screwed up the small package about six times too, but I still don't know what's going on. We'll try and get more, but back in a moment with your phone calls. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. You're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of people on the lines today. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. All of the other numbers are on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Give us a call. Let's go to Tan. Tan's been waiting for a while. Tan, what's going on?
Not much, Brian. And how's it going, Mike?
Monumental. What's happening?
Hey, all right. Good. Hey, hopefully you will indulge me with two things I want to talk about. But definitely I want to touch on the women's match. But first, I want to ask you something that might be construed as a Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland, straight out of left field, maybe even straight out of Jupiter type question. We know in the last month we've lost both Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper. And then we know, of course, the situation with Hulk Hogan. With that being said, let's say, and I'm just using that as a hypothetical, let's say if Hulk Hogan was to pass away between now and January, it's still pretty fresh in everybody's mind. Do you think WWE would acknowledge his passing? Do the whole video package have all the wrestlers stand out on the ramp and do the 10 bell salute like they did these previous two people that passed away recently?
I want to thank you very much for the call, Tan. I would be absolutely stunned if they didn't acknowledge the passing of Hulk Hogan if he happened to pass away sometime in the next 6 months. He's too big a star. I mean, he's scrubbed, but when someone passes away, I think they would do something. I don't know what they would do, but I think it's impossible for me to fathom them completely not acknowledging the passing of Hulk Hogan if he happened to pass away.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of it also will depend on what the general reaction will be. And is this that big of a story nationwide where if Hulk Hogan were to die, the first reaction that most of us will hear from, you know, the average person is, oh, my God, what happened to Hulk Hogan? They'll have no idea really what has happened with Gawker and the lawsuit. A lot of them probably don't even know he had the sex tape. None of that stuff. All they know and what they remember is Hulk Hogan. They remember red and yellow Hulk Hogan from 1985. That's what they're going to remember. That's what's burned, I think, into most people's brains. And I think when the reaction that would come out, and it would be on SportsCenter, it would obviously be a major news story. This stuff would come out in the story and in the longer form obituary. That type of stuff is going to come out, and people will probably see it for the first time and go, oh, wow, I didn't know this was happening. But the reality
is... I disagree.
I think to the average person, though, Brian, like, you know, your mom sort of type deal, you know...
All about it.
Does she really?
Yeah. I honest to God, I think you'd be surprised at how big... Because you got to remember, this isn't just what happened, like, 2 weeks ago. This Gawker sex tape story started in 2012. And Hogan, and it's funny because, like, the whole reason that he's filing this lawsuit, well, one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons, obviously, but one of the main reasons is because he feels it's shattered his reputation. But he has done a tremendous job keeping the story in the news for 3 years.
Yes, he has.
And this was a big, big story. I mean, this actually has nothing to do with Hulk Hogan, but I want to bring this up anyway. As I noted, when I'm driving through the tundra of Alaska, there's nothing but conservative talk radio on all of the stations. And so, because we had long drives, I was just listening to it for hours. Twice, on two different shows, randomly brought up Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is big time right now. She is a huge mainstream name. And Hulk Hogan, I'm afraid that as a result of everything that went down, I've seen that story and I've heard about that story and I've heard people talk about that story that you would not expect to be talking about Hulk Hogan or wrestling. I think a lot more people are well aware of this than you would think.
And maybe so. I just think if he were to, and pardon how this is, but just drop dead tomorrow, I just bet you mainstream. I mean, I think it would send such a shockwave through these things. And again, believe me, we've talked about it on this show over the last couple of weeks. I mean, because of his age and because of the amount of time, I think he needs to be frozen away if you're WWE. You know, we may have seen the last of him in WWE, at least in this, you know, in the incarnation we know. You know, after he passes away, it'll probably be different. And again, I think it would be such a national shock that, yes, I guess this has obviously damaged his reputation. I mean, it just has, period. I mean, it has permanently damaged his reputation. It is a mark. It is another mark in the direction he went after being Hulk Hogan when he became reality show guy Hulk Hogan. But I still think that you can't erase him from the history. You can't say that he wasn't important. You needed to have Hulk Hogan, and he tells so much of your story that, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's like, you know, O.J. Simpson in NFL films. You take as straight-laced of an approach as you can. You don't beat around it. You don't hype it up. It's almost like Chris Benoit in a way where you go tunnel vision. Look, this happened. He wrestled guys. It was not their fault. This is a part of history. We're not going to hype it up. We're not going to mention it. It is what it is. And that's how it should probably end up being with Hulk Hogan if he were to pass away. That's probably the direction they should take.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Brian, it's Chris in Las Vegas. I know we keep talking about this women's match, but if we want to talk about finishes, why don't we talk about the finish which should have been the finish of the Neville match on Monday, where the ref counted three. I paused it. I even saw his hand hit the mat. I even jumped out of my chair and started celebrating because I thought Neville had won the belt. And I don't know if you saw that, but they totally messed up on that.
I thought Monday's show was awesome, by the way. I just want to throw that in there again.
It was a great show.
You know what's funny about that is the Neville match was on Raw, but it's funny because allegedly the story is that Charlotte match, that wasn't the finish. I don't know what the finish was. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but it's the reason that was so amazing to me when they did that spot on Monday. Everybody bought that as a finish, not the foot on the ropes one. There was another one. The foot on the ropes one obviously was planned.
It was the one before that where it was the two and nine tenths.
Yeah. That's right. And what was amazing to me is the referees they're instructed to referee like it's a shoot. In other words, if you don't kick out, they're supposed to count the pin.
If it's a shoot, then they should have handed the bell over.
Well, he apparently kicked out in time. But the point is,
show that one camera angle.
Go back and rewind and pause it, and you will see his hand hit the mat on the three.
Well, I guess a referee, I don't know if he didn't want to get fired or what, but point of all of this is, like, if you're the world champion, don't be playing it close with these three counts, because if you screw up, they're going to count the pin, and you're in big trouble.
Yeah, but they did, and, you know, I don't know if he actually did or not, but they did show the one camera angle after the fact of it was, I think, more of the head-on shot of the ref, which, you know, Rollins, if I will say this, there's movement, maybe technically Crockett 80s style, both shoulders were still down, but he was bucking out of that thing right as the ref was hitting the ground. So it was close. It was maybe it was too close. But it was awesome.
It was awesome. I was like, wow. And the fans went crazy, but you can't. If you're anybody else, go for it. But when you're the world champion, you can't get that close.
And I'm making Neville my Rey Mysterio. And except I'm trying to protect him as much as possible. But when it comes time for the bully to beat somebody up or something like that, I think, you know, the cartoon thing, a lot of people may not like it. I like it when it comes to Neville, and I think again, they have something there. Neville is your world champion. I doubt it, even though somebody's going to get mad at me for saying that. I just don't see it happening. But him as being important into, you know, the old babyface mix, I think he's incredibly important for, you know, to be there to protect the guys on top.
You know, we haven't talked about this yet, but last night there was an incident at a house show. There was a fan that had a replica Money in the Bank briefcase, and I guess he was going around and he was trying to get all the wrestlers to sign it. And then later he took it and he threw it and hit Roman Reigns in the head.
Oh.
Not making this up. Roman Reigns was like out of it for 2 minutes. We'll discuss this after the break. Take more phone calls. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. This is a snappy one right here.
James Brown, that's the JB's nose job.
Let's just play this one all show. We don't need to talk about wrestling.
Mm-mm.
That's pretty cool. Anyway, we got an email here from somebody talking about the Roman Reigns situation. They said they just tuned in, but apparently the person who threw the briefcase, it says here, actually posted on what appears to be 4chan a picture of the briefcase and said flat out they were going to throw it and to check the news to see. So apparently this was premeditated. Can you believe that? Threw the briefcase and waffled Roman Reigns right in the head with it.
I'm sorry, but what a dick. I mean, Jesus. If you're a wrestler and you're up there and you get the lights in your eyes and you got the crowd, I mean, you're putting yourself on display anyway. It takes guts to be any type of performer, and then to be hit with a briefcase in the back of the head, your first instinct is probably, you know, did I get shot? Was that a bottle? What was that? I mean, why in the world? And however old this dude is, I mean, way old enough to know better. I mean, at any age, you're old enough to know better than to do something like that. It blows me away that you would actually do that is just, it's pathetic.
Roman should have gone out there and pounded on this guy.
Can you imagine the old days? Bill Watts, we wouldn't even know who this dude is because he'd be dead. And if he wasn't dead, he'd be athletic taped to like some post out in the desert with honey dripped all over him and fire ants around him and Johnny Valentine just like giggling or something like that. I mean, damn. And I'm not saying, you know, if you do something like that and you did it purposely, it wasn't like a drunken fit, you had planned to do this, maybe you deserve treatment like that.
Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on the air. What's going on?
Oh, hey, I am trying to watch Triple Mania, and this is a new one. I checked my TV listings on Suddenlink to see if the show was playing today. And it was, and I called them, so I ordered the show, and the time comes around for the show to start. I turn to the pay-per-view channel, and I have a listing for a TNA one-night-only show instead. Right under the title TNA World Cup, it says, The Comic Performs.
Yeah, you tweeted that to me. I had a good laugh.
Yeah, so I call Suddenlink. They can't get the TNA show, the AAA show to start, and they say they'll give me a refund. So I go to the AAA website. I Google, you know, Triple Mania iPay-per-view to see if they're offering it online. And I order it, and I find this page. It looks exactly like the one from the Lucha Libre World Cup show from a couple of months ago. And I try to order the pay-per-view. And I do that, and it takes me back to the main page, and I get a message that says, there is no event in the planning. And it turns out, I've gone through my emails, I've somehow ordered last year's Triple Mania, which, according to the FAQ on the site, I couldn't watch because it's more than 5 days old. Yet they still bill for it!
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Well, that sucks. What's going on, Mike?
Well, I mean, nothing. I mean, I ordered it online. I didn't have a problem, but it's just I have not ordered. I don't think I've ordered AAA directly through them before. I don't think I have, at least. But I think I have heard they are notorious for having problems with internet pay-per-view. So I don't know if they had problems with Rey de Reyes or anything. But oops, I guess.
Man, Paul, I want to thank you very much for the call. I apologize. I don't know why I'm apologizing, but I apologize for that.
Ooh.
I don't know who you can talk to remedy that situation, but that sucks.
By the way, if you order it online, too, now I'm airplaying this out into the family room right now. I ordered it on my computer, so I got the airplay going to the Apple TV. So the sound is actually out into the family room where my son is. But I am assuming if you order this on the off the internet, and it is cheaper, it's $19 the way it breaks down. It's 1,900 pesos or whatever it is. It's $19 U.S., you are only going to get the Spanish feed. I can't guarantee that 100%, but from what I can sort of hear, I can hear a little bit, and I believe you should be forewarned, you will not get Matt Stryker and Hugo Savinovich.
Man. Well, all I know is that they sent me a new credit card, and so, of course, I had to you know, you got a million things that auto pay on your credit card, and one of them was my cable bill, and they didn't bother to tell me that my old card wasn't working until I was past due. I owed $800 on my cable bill.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And it was still on?
Yeah, believe it or not. And I paid the bill online on Friday, and I thought, I guarantee, I would bet the whole $800 that Sunday's going to come, I'm going to go to order the AAA pay-per-view, and it's just not going to work. And amazingly, it worked. It's airing right now. So I feel especially bad for poor Paul not being able to see it, but it sucks. Parts unknown, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Tony in Omaha.
Yes, Tony.
Yes, I was calling in to be slightly wacky. My thing is that UFC is not a sport. My reasons are there's no CPA, there's random, an overmatch championship fight, random, like the Gustafson knockout, then getting the championship fight, then Ronda Rousey just mangling everyone. Also, biggest thing for me is lack of uniform weight classes between the men and women. I want it to be, you know, 150 to 265 uniform. I would quite enjoy 205-pound women that, you know, are athletic getting in there, even if they are, you know, like not super skills because of the evolution of the sport. And then last thing, kind of a phone to pick with you, Brian. I know you don't like Condom Depot and like all the crap that used to be on these trunks, but if you have a beer sponsor, you should have a condom sponsor.
I never thought of that. I want to thank you very much for the call. Did he just say that it was not a sport because he wanted to see more 220-pound women fighting?
Well, I think we'd all like to see more 220-pound women fighting.
Listen, here's the thing.
I think he also said because there's no CBA, and I just want to, before you go, I just want to shoehorn this in. I am a proponent of UFC fighters unionizing because I believe it can do for them what it did in other sports. And I think even though the UFC will hate this, and I understand their vehement disagreement philosophically and personally with unions, but I think it would actually legitimize them, believe it or not, more as a sport if people saw them from a PR point of view negotiating. Now, again, there's a million reasons, pro and con, why you should unionize, but I will say this. The Teamsters and that union is not somebody I would get in bed with. If the UFC and fighters are going to unionize and managers going to bring this up and anybody's going to be for this, they have got to deal with sports. They have got to deal with who was the guy in baseball? Donald Fear. You have got to try to deal with those guys, not with some sort of union like the Teamsters. You have got to do this purely sporting and leave those people out of it. I mean, they have tried to hold you out of New York. They caused, you know, a lot of different problems. You don't need the Teamsters. You need guys with sport, period.
All right. Well, anyway, about these weight classes, I don't even bother talking about unions because this is wasting our breath, but the weight classes are such because you've got to have talent. How many UFC level fighters do you think there would be in a women's 220-pound division? None. Maybe Gabby Garcia. And I don't even think she's that heavy.
In an official real division, yes. I mean, there would be her and maybe like one or two others.
That's right. There's a reason that the women's weight classes are 115, 125, and 135, because the vast majority of the talented female MMA fighters fall into those three weight classes. Yes, obviously there are women that weigh less than 115. Invicta has 105. Obviously there are women that weigh much more than 135. But UFC believes that in terms of the vast majority of talented UFC-level fighters, they all fall in the 115, 125, and 135-pound weight classes. That's the reason they don't have 115-pound men or 105-pound men. You're not going to find a lot of professional MMA male fighters that weigh 105 pounds. They're very, very rare. So if you opened up like an atom weight division for the men, you'd have a champion and a challenger. And that's probably it.
Yeah, the sport has not evolved. And look, it's going to happen. I guarantee you one day down the line it's going to happen. But you need guys in Africa. You need guys in, you know, in the Philippines. You need guys in all throughout Latin America where you see boxers that are, you know, that small, and you know, straw weight types. You know, it's going to take a long time for the sport to evolve and get down there where you even have competition. And again, you can have a couple of fighters. Look at Michelle Waterson. If this was about looks and this was about charisma and this, you know, if it was all about those things, she would already been in the UFC. The problem was she was fighting at 105 pounds where she's most comfortable. She can't fight there anymore. Obviously, she wants to be in the UFC. She's got to go up. That's going to be a big disadvantage for her. But she's up and she did win her first fight. So, you know, a good first start there. But just because even if you get one or two people like a Gabby Garcia in a super heavyweight women's division, you know, what are you supposed to do after that? I mean, this is the whole thing. Marlos Conan and Cyborg are the only people 145 pounds. Cyborg beat her twice. And this is where we're at with her. So that's just the way it is.
Ryan in Cumberland on Twitter here says, anybody that buys a fake Money in the Bank briefcase for $80 is not playing with a full deck of cards.
Do you think he bought a full replica Money in the Bank briefcase?
I just can't believe that's Ryan saying that. Paul here also says, the ref never counted three on Monday. Your buddy wants Neville to win the title or Seth to lose it. So Paul does not believe that the ref's hand hit for the three count. Back in a moment with more calls. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Got to head to the phones here in just a moment. 1-800-878-PLAY is the number. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. Let's go to Jim in Virginia. Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Not much. What's up?
Oh, I didn't know I was on the air. Sorry about that.
That's what you're on the air means.
Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't hear that part. Oh, he was talking about the Divas match on SmackDown. Oh, anytime you start with one match, you go to another match. You really don't have a good match most of the time, and that was a train wreck, just like you were talking about.
That's right. They did. It started as a singles match. It started out as Charlotte versus Naomi. They had a screw job finish, and then they made a tag match out of it. And, as soon as they made that tag match, the crowd died. And then it went on forever. A lot of things wrong.
Exactly. What do they call this? What's the new name for Charlotte's group now? They can't call them the sorority.
The submission sorority. Yeah, they were calling them the Submission Sorority. Turns out that's a porn term. And so they changed them to, what was it, Mike? PCB?
Is that what I remember? The Submission Sisters was kicked around.
I think it was, PCB, which I believe also can stand for Panama City Beach, where they put up a bunch of cams or something like that. That's also a porn reference. So I'm not sure how long that one's going to last.
Is that where Adam Cole says he's from? That's kind of porn-like.
That explains a lot right there. So apparently nobody in WWE Creative has access to Google.
Why are they not just become the last kickers? I know that's Becky Lynch's thing, but just make them the last kickers, sell some shirts, play on words.
Because
it
sucks.
Well, then it's somebody licking. Never mind. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim.
I've got some big indie women's news. Actually, made history this week.
History?
Yes, they made history. Had the first ever women's match on live TV from China on China television.
Actually, that is history.
Barbie Hayes wrestled Tessa Blanchard.
Tessa Blanchard in the first ever women's match broadcast on live television in China?
Yes.
That's actually pretty big news. Do we know the rating? How many people watched this match? I would bet it would be millions.
I don't know. I would like to know the draw myself.
About
Wait a
that.
Second. Didn't Dragon Gate USA or Evolve? They didn't they go to China earlier on this year?
Yeah, they ran there. I'm not sure if they. I don't know if they broadcasted the shows or not. And there may not have been a women's match on the show.
So maybe those people saw those shows taped. So Tessa Blanchard is actually getting being able to put this feather in her cap a little sneakily.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you so much for the call. We got to get going here, but there you go. First ever women's match airing in China.
Live.
How about that? To the phones. Ooh, let's see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Danny Hernandez, and how are you too?
Well, what's up, Danny?
Look, I've been a number one band waiver for Lucha Underground, and I was a little bit of gripe with an interview with Conan this week about Lucha Underground, an additional season.
You had a gripe with him?
Yeah, because I don't think, for example, like he said, like there are shows that go between seasons that go a year apart that you know. But, for example, there's a show, like Marvel's Agent Carter. Like they weren't sure if that show was getting renewed for a second season. But, like, those actors, they don't get paid, like, as little as what the Lucha Underground people are. So they can go between work. Like, they can sustain themselves, you know, instead of, like, getting, like, indie bookings. Because I don't think, like the Hollywood mentality of, like, this is a show can really translate to wrestling, unfortunately.
But well, they're signed as television performers. So
they're not getting any money.
Well, no, but, I mean, everybody is allowed to go out and get all of their indie dates. And I'm sure that a lot of them are making a lot more money on the indies now than they were before because of the fame that they have gotten off Lucha Underground. So, yeah, it would be great if they got paid, but that's the reason they don't have a new television deal is because they don't have the money for it. So if you're worried about having to pay all the guys, you're going to be even further into the hole.
it's like a translation for wrestling and what the actors do, like a little bit different stuff like that. But I love the season finale, of course, and they gave a little sneak peek of Matanza. So hopefully,
yes.
Brian Vini, yeah. So,
yeah, somebody, I want to thank you very much for the call. Somebody had asked about us watching Lucha Underground, and I have not watched the finale yet. We're going to do our usual Wednesday night viewing of Lucha Underground, the season finale, and it'll be on the Thursday Brian and Vinny show. So for those of you, you'll have to wait a week, but we are going to review it, and I cannot wait. So that's coming up on Thursday's show. I believe Heather is on the line. Heather, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hi, we went to a minor league baseball game in Charleston, West Virginia about a week and a half ago, and on the outfield wall where they usually have advertisements, we saw a picture of Holland Match. It was the strangest thing, and I was wondering if you guys might have any idea if there was any connection to the area.
There was a picture of Holland Match?
Random.
I mean, did it say, like, coming soon or anything like that?
No, it was literally a picture of Hall and Nash, and it was like a NWO. They were wearing NWO gear.
And where was this?
It was in Wolfpack colors. It was in Charleston, West Virginia, at the West Virginia Power Ball Stadium. It's
so
a minor league team.
Yes, yeah, single A baseball. Random. It's well, it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to sell advertising for single A baseball. We got a Delmarva affiliate that actually plays that team. That's the team in Salisbury, and there are spots open sometimes on their boards where somebody's not advertising, so if somebody's got a sense of humor or just nobody cares, why not put a big old fat head of the NWO?
Well, do we, Mike, Google the West Virginia Powerball Stadium or whatever and find out if Global Force Wrestling was going to run there, because maybe it was some sort of advertisement.
They weren't running there with Hall and Nash.
Well, no, but I mean, they've got a, like, they said, like, we got hundreds of people affiliated with us from around the world, so maybe they're counted as affiliates. Heather, we're going to solve this mystery for you, okay?
Thank you. I sent actually a picture into your mailbag email address, so you actually have a picture there, in case. By the way, I love your grandmother.
Oh.
I wish she'd friend me back on Facebook.
Well, thank you. I love my grandmother as well, and thank you very much for calling. We don't get a lot of ladies calling in, but I do appreciate it. And we'll check out, I guess she sent me the picture, so I will look for that when we get the next caller here. And I guess we don't have...
We do have one on the byline line, Earl in Hollywood.
Earl, you're on the air. Earl, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show as always. You know, I was lucky enough to be able to co-host the last 5 or 6 episodes of Piper's podcast. And I just wanted to call and just let everyone know out there, he was an amazing, amazing person and the complete opposite of his in-ring persona.
Your phone is horrible, but we'll keep you on the air here for a while. How did you get hooked up as working as his co-host?
I'm a stand-up comic in L.A., and he had seen me do comedy, and I did a few wrestling jokes, and he asked me to help him co-host his podcast. And he was actually, the day he passed, on his, well, he was supposed to be on his way to my house to do a podcast, so we are all very sad in the L.A. comedy community because he was an adopted brother to us all.
Now, is there anything you could tell us about what happened with the podcast and Steve Austin and that whole debacle?
Well, I came in right in the middle of that, and I know that Stone Cold and Podcast One deny anything to do with having him off the air, but I can assure you that he loved doing the podcast, and after we got kicked off the first network, we went to a second one, and we were kind of cut loose there, and I can assure you it was not by Piper's wishes, so there were definitely outside forces in play that I can't say who they were.
Hey, what was it about Roddy Piper and his tie-in with the comic community there? Because I know the Comedy Store had a deal for Piper there. What was it with him and comedians?
You know, we just love the fact that basically a superhero to us was walking around our work. And, you know, he would go up really late at night. And, you know, right now the Comedy Store is a very popular place. But when Piper came up there about 2010, it was kind of a dead zone. And he'd go up there in front of about 10 people. And it was so strange to all of us to see a man who'd been at WrestleMania's wrestling in front of 50,000 people. And in front of 10 people, he looked, I don't know if nervous is the right word, but vulnerable. And he would do his sets, and then he would stay and watch every comic after him because I think he felt bad that he was bumping other comics, which I really thought was cool.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for the call. Got some connection problems there, but I do really appreciate that. And thanks for the memories of working with Roddy. A couple of quick notes here, by the way, from Twitter. First off, Ed is saying we're idiots. He says, Mia Yim won the Shine title in China on that WWN show. I think Ed's the idiot. The point was that this match aired on television in China, not an iPay-per-view. So unless Ed can correct me on that, I don't think this Shine show aired on national. Maybe it did. Maybe somebody can correct me. But
even if Ed corrects you on that, there's going to be like 7 or 8 other things that are so wrong, it doesn't matter anyway.
And this person says, Last Kickers is better than bad. You know, what is it now lately with everyone's got to have a team name and it's just 3 letters? Where we got bad, we got PBC, which I believe is like a poison, if I recall correctly.
Well, it's easy to bust out a hashtag, you know, like SMH and LOL and YOLO and all that and whatnot. So it's multiple ways to sell merchandise and to market yourself. You get the long name on the T-shirt, but when it comes time to hashtag during my match, it's just hashtag bad.
Also, Heather's picture here.
Or something.
This is a very random shot of Hall and Nash.
Yeah, I can find nothing, by the way.
In their NWO gear. And there's just a bunch of advertising on the wall, and then right next to an insurance ad, there's Hall and Nash. I have no idea why. How about that? Heather, the answer is it's just one of those things.
Maybe, who is it, the great owner, Bill Vec or whatever it is, that family, maybe they have a stake in the team or something like that, and they love wackiness.
I see. Ed is saying we're an idiot because we were unaware that there was a women's match on that show. We should have known about Mia Yim.
How many
Mia
other
Yim.
People would have known that Evolve had went to China? We mentioned that. That's not enough.
Hey, I knew.
This is why you'll never co-host.
Wow. All Ed wants, Mike, is just one time to co-host, and you didn't give it to him when I was gone?
He wants lots of things for one time that that nobody's ever going to give him, let alone me.
Holy smokes.
By the way, the old referee in AAA, who is just slower than molasses in the wintertime, is retiring. There's lots of...
That's right, he's retiring
today. As well
as
the show, there's lots of honors going on. Hector Garza, who was always a favorite of mine, and Perro, obviously. But yes, the referee retiring as well.
So is that where they're at right now? They're doing the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Well, no, it's the Vianos and the Clowns just ended with the... I don't know if Viano 3 got the win, but he's unmasked now, and the Vianos definitely got the victory for Viano 3's official, once again, retirement match.
How does the show look so far?
It looks actually is excellent. I have not had one problem whatsoever as far as quality or anything like
how
that.
How do the matches look?
Exactly what they are. Remember, you had the Exotico female mini... wacky thing to start, and then this was the second match. So they're working their way up. I mean, this match was what it was. It was about, you know, the clown family against the Viano family, with Viano 3 retiring at the end and the ref retiring at the end. So it was to get from point A to point B with a story, and it's going to start. Business should start picking up now, unless it's Tejano. Or not Tejano, because he's all right, but Blue Demon.
Somebody sent me, by the way, the supposed picture of the briefcase with the threat. Tonight I'm going to throw this briefcase at Roman Reigns. Check the news tomorrow. All I got to say is the timestamp on here from the person posting it says it was Sunday at 6:07 p.m. And so I would guess that would mean that this was done after the fact, unless I've got something screwed up here, because the incident happened yesterday. So how could you post this on Sunday unless you're posting it after the fact?
Is there a chunk of hair in there? Brian, also, I just want to let you know, you must have the studio turned down because we're in a break.
Let's head to a break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
1-800-316-1738.
Look at me talk my way right through a break. A professional, I am. Two more shows coming up tonight, everybody. Myself and Vinny are going to be up in a few hours to recap the Triple Mania pay-per-view on the Brian and Vinny Show. After that, live at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern on the Dark Matter Radio Network, which you can grab with TuneIn Radio and the Dark Matter Radio Network. At midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, I will be on After Dark Radio, 2 full hours live. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, including an interview with Steven Streufert. There's new Patterson-Gimlin footage that has been stabilized, color-balanced. And we're going to be talking to him about it since he released it on YouTube. So that's coming up tonight on After Dark Radio. It is on the Dark Matter Radio Network, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. All of the links are up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And I believe we're also doing an Observer Radio later tonight. 4 shows in one day, 2 of them only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you love this show and you're not a subscriber, you are missing out. Not only that, you get full archives. 7,000 shows. Every show we've ever done is available in the archives. And you have full podcast access to them every single morning, everything we do overnight. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. And tomorrow, back with a brand new show every day this coming week, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, every day here on Sports Byline USA. We're here for an hour talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. I'm going to Raw tomorrow, so we'll preview Raw, and then Tuesday we can talk about it. We'll have a lot of big guests as well, so a lot of great stuff coming out here on the Wrestling Observer Live radio show every day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on Sports Byline USA. I want to thank all the people at Sports Byline, Mike, as always, all of you, the callers and listeners. Talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.